Welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kaveh Tahbahi. It is said to be worse than death row. Guantanamo prison hunger strike has entered its 100th day. In a prison which U.S. authorities are holding 166 men, most without charge, where over 100 prisoners are on a hunger strike. Human rights groups have called on the Defense Department to halt the force feeding, in itself a form of torture. In this debate, we'll be discussing the Guantanamo prison and why the U.S. president has yet again failed on his promise to close this prison down.
The chorus of protests against the refusal of the U.S. to shut down the notorious Guantanamo Bay prison is becoming louder and louder. Rights advocates continue to hold demonstrations inside the U.S. and elsewhere against the indefinite detention of inmates at the jail. As about 130 prisoners continue their hunger strike in protest at their indefinite detention, rights organizations have condemned the force feeding of the inmates by the U.S. authorities. The American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, as well as 19 other organizations, have sent a letter to the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, stating their opposition to the ongoing force feeding. As the letter makes clear, the Guantanamo force-feeding procedures constitute cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment. The letter goes on to describe the physical pain that force-feeding may cause.
It can be extremely painful. One of my clients said that it's like having a razor blade go down through your nose and into your throat.
U.S. President Barack Obama was asked earlier this month about the force-feeding at Guantanamo prison. He simply said,
I don't want these individuals to die. Obviously, the Pentagon is trying to manage the situation as best as they can.
Meanwhile, a leading human rights lawyer says the guards insist that detainees must have intimate body cavity searches before they have contact with their lawyers, even by phone. The U.S. military has denied the claim. The inmates began their hunger strike in early February to protest their indefinite detention.
It's been a remarkable achievement on the part of the prisoners to make the world wake up to what's going on at Guantanamo, because, of course, it isn't just now that the problem there is that these men have been abandoned by all three branches of the U.S. government. But, you know, it took the hunger strike for the world's media in particular to pay attention once more to the fallout from President Obama's failed promise to close the prison. And the fallout is these men stranded forever in this prison that shouldn't exist.
Obama has come under fire in recent months over his failure to make good on his presidential campaign promise to close Guantanamo. The prison camp remains fully operational more than 4 years into Obama's presidency. Washington's refusal to shut the infamous detention center has prompted many to question the U.S. claims about human rights and democracy.
Well, joining us for this debate from Berkeley, Henry Knorr. He's an activist and political commentator. And a little later on in the program from New York, Stuart Sogol will join us. He's from Newsmax magazine. Henry Knorr, welcome. Let me start with what President Obama declared earlier this month, which we saw a clip of it in that report, that the Pentagon is trying to manage the situation. Is this the best that the Pentagon can do at this point, given that it's the 100th day of the hunger strike?
Well, certainly not. It's certainly not the best they could do. They are posing it as a matter of either letting people die of starvation or force-feeding them in this brutal way. In fact, both of those are illegal and immoral alternatives. The real alternative is to let people out or give them a fair trial. They're saying that they're doing their best. They're saying, well, within the framework of assuming that we're going to keep these people locked up with no procedure, no process, no fairness, in that sense, they obviously don't want them to die. I think Obama is completely sincere about that, because it would be an embarrassment. It would probably fire even greater outrage around the world. So I think he's sincere about that. But the resorting to this brutal approach to force feeding and now these body cavity searches just indicates the limited range of alternatives they're thinking about instead of getting at the root of the problem.
Well, Obama has said he doesn't want to see these detainees die. What if they start dying? What would happen?
Well, I can't predict. I'm sure there would be greater outrage around the world. And even in this country, I will say, the commentator you had in the news report, perhaps it was Clive Stafford Smith from the UK, I'm not sure, but whoever it was who said that the prisoners have made a monumental achievement of waking up the world again to this, that is seems to me to be true. It's true even in the United States. I personally participated in two demonstrations last weekend about Guantanamo. You know, I'm very active in this sort of thing, but the honest truth is that we've all been a little bit discouraged about all this dragged on for so many years. But the prisoners have activated the part of the small part of the American public that is outraged by what's going on. They've made it a political issue in American political discussion. They even the mass media, which was for a decade.
Fortunately, it seems like we just lost contact with Henry. Nor we're going to try to get him back for this debate. Of course, there's many questions that lie in what is going on there in Guantanamo. One of them has been the most recent account coming from the lawyer of some of the detainees, in which he has said that as if things weren't bad enough, now the inmates have emerged showing that prisoners who wish to talk to their legal representatives are being subjected to humiliating body searches. And therefore, the question arises, is that the type of instructions that have been given the delicate atmosphere that the Guantanamo detainees are facing? That's one of the questions that needs to be answered, of which we're going to be asking our analysts of that. Puts also into perspective whether anyone who wants to see a lawyer, meaning the detainees, if they have a legal phone call, will have basically body searches done, and why that is. Let's ask that question from Henry Knorr. Henry Knorr, you touched upon these body searches, really cavity searches. I don't want to get too graphic on that. You would think in a delicate situation such as what they're facing, these detainees with being on hunger strike, that something like that wouldn't even happen, but it is. Are they being instructed to do that? And what purpose is that? Some saying to stop them from actually talking to their lawyers.
Well, I think the reason it's, and I would add, first of all, that a second lawyer has now come forward and said that he's heard the same story from his client. So there's and the Pentagon has denied, or the military has denied it, but repeatedly over the years now, there's ample evidence that when the lawyers come forward and tell stories about what's going on there, and then the military denies it, it eventually turns out that the lawyers were telling the truth all along and the military was lying. And I'm sad to say, I'm sure that's the case here too. Why they're doing it, I think it's a continuation of the whole approach at Guantanamo, and for that matter, the whole war on terror. They think that they can defeat, American authorities, think that they can defeat the people they've defined as enemies by brutalizing and humiliating them. It's not going to work, but that is the mindset. More specifically, apparently the command of the camp at Guantanamo was changed at the beginning, early this year, a new commander and some new officers in charge, and apparently the new crew is even more kind of hard-edged in their approach, more committed to this policy of discipline and brutality, using pain and humiliation to try to discipline people. There's a level on which there's variation depending on individual guards, individual commanders, I don't think they're all necessarily acting on direct orders from Obama, but in fact, Obama could stop what's going on if he chose to, and he's choosing not to.
Well, as our report indicated, and I think you also alluded to that, there's been such international outcry, and also within the United States, people are realizing the gravity of the situation, just like our viewer comments did when they posted their comments on our Facebook page on the topic of this debate. Let's take a listen to viewer comment number one.
The U.S. has no moral right to talk about democracy and human rights when they are violating the rights of innocent inmates at Gitmo themselves. They should practice what they preach. Prisoners of war are released at the end of hostilities. The war on terror is still ongoing, and releasing them means sending them back to meet their comrade terrorists to continue the hostilities. Gitmo is a serious crime against humanity. Obama and Bush are criminals.
And those were the viewer comments, just some of them that we could fit into to this debate. Henry Knorr, I'd like to zoom in on that viewer comment number one. The U.S. has no moral right to talk about democracy and human rights. They should practice what they preach, that they're violating the rights of innocent inmates. It has been said that this is a stain on the U.S.'s human rights record. So this is another way that this Guantanamo Bay prison is working against the U.S., isn't it?
Yes, it's one of many ways. I mean, personally, I think there's a lot. This is not the only instance. Perhaps it's a dramatic one that's opened some people's eyes. But of course, the United States has a very long record of ignoring human rights and disregarding or using proxies in other countries who are brutal dictators, or even U.S. soldiers and officials carrying out the denial of human rights. I would say that most governments, when they talk about human rights, I'm afraid most governments around the world, yours, mine, everywhere, pretty much everywhere, are just using it for as propaganda, trying to delude people. They pursue their interests pretty ruthlessly sometimes. But certainly that is the case in the U.S. and with respect to Guantanamo. I mean, it's truly horrifying what we've done. The very idea of locking up hundreds of people after confirming that most of them did nothing illegal or nothing wrong, and then locking them up and on this colonial outpost, which the United States has no right to have in the first place because we stole it from Cuba 100 years ago, and then throwing away the key, denying all procedures, refusing to release anybody. It's an outrage from a human rights point of view and from any point of view of common human decency.
Well, here's a problem that...
If the people on Facebook and elsewhere around the world are outraged, they should be.
Well, here's a problem, Henry Knorr, that I'm trying to figure out. Maybe you could clarify it for us. You have, on the one hand, the U.S. president saying it should be shut down, that it attracts more extremists, et cetera. But at the same time, we're looking at the fact that here we have an almost $200 million request to actually renovate the prison camp. A request coming from the Department of Defense. Why would there be plans for renovation to the tune of $200 million when you have the U.S. president making that kind of claim?
Well, I don't think he's serious. I think he wants to look good in the eyes of the world and the eyes of liberals in the United States. And so every couple of years he comes out and says something about how we should shut it down. And he's an effective speaker. He sounds sincere and persuasive and so on, but he doesn't mean it. Because the way you judge whether he means it is not by the words, but by the actions. And the actions clearly indicate that they don't intend to shut it down. They don't want to shut it down. There are plenty of actions. It is true that his further right-wing opponents in the Washington political scene have thrown up various roadblocks and tried to stop him from shutting it down. The problem is, as on so many issues, he won't stand up and fight for what he claims to believe in. He gives in to these forces within the security establishment or whoever they are, I don't know, but in the military who say, well, you say you want to shut down, but we think this would cause XYZ problem. And Obama says, well, okay, I guess we won't shut it down then. He just ignores what he claims are his principles and certainly his public repeated promises to the American public and to the people of the world, and just gives in to people who say, no, we don't do that. And that's what he's done in this case. You know, if he really were serious about wanting it shut down, he could use his political power. I mean, he would have to go through some steps with Congress and executive orders and so on. And probably have to wage a campaign with the American public to educate people about why this needs to be shut down. And he's not willing to do that. So until he's actually willing to make an effort, the sweet words don't count for
right.
much.
Right. Let's bring in Stuart Sogol from Newsmax Magazine, who joins us on the phone from New York to share his thoughts on this. Stuart Sogol, welcome. Do you think that Guantanamo serves an essential purpose, that it is actually complying with international law, and that there's no immediate need to shut it down?
Well, I would think so, simply because in the United States, the final jurisdiction over matters like this resides with the U.S. courts, and the courts have not made any move at this point to shut down or modify Guantanamo. And since they have access to more sensitive information than I do as a journalist, I'm going to assume that the conditions there don't violate any U.S. laws.
Well, let's look at what Miami Herald reporter, who's a journalist, Carl Rosenberg has said. Before September 11, never imagined that we would be talking about holding people forever whom we couldn't charge, for whom there was either insufficient evidence to bring them to trial, for whom the evidence was so tainted that we couldn't bring them to trial. Your reaction?
Well, first of all, I'm not so sure that Mr. Rosenberg is the definitive source. I used to work at the Miami Herald, and their sources in Guantanamo are always somewhat suspect. Also, it seems as if, again, if there were legitimate gripes regarding the conditions at Guantanamo, even within the military court of justice, there are ways of bringing those allegations to an independent commission to be examined. All I can tell you is that at this point, I haven't seen any military tribunal or any civilian tribunal rule against the Defense Department, which runs Guantanamo Bay, confirming or alleging that there have been violations of U.S. law pertaining to conditions there. And also, there's the International Criminal Court, or the International Court of Justice. I have seen no legal moves made in either of those jurisdictions to pursue criminal charges against the United States. There's a lot of talk, but substantive movement on this issue simply hasn't happened.
Henry Knorr, you heard our guest there, Stuart Stogel. Do you agree with him?
No, I don't. I'm afraid not. I think he's resorting to a lot of legalism. The issue is not whether some court has ruled one way or another. The issue is whether this is a policy that's humane and decent and responsible and moral. And the answer is clearly no. Your guest may prefer to ignore the evidence and wait for some court to make a decision, but there's ample evidence from people who've been in Guantanamo, from former prosecutors even, from lawyers, from international human rights organizations, that the conditions there are terrible. They don't have real meaningful access to courts. They're subject to all these humiliations and harassment, now these horrible body cavity searches, and on and on, if they try to even communicate with their lawyers. So the idea that they have a actual opportunity to present a case before an impartial judicial body is nonsense, I'm afraid.
Stuart Stogel?
No, what's nonsense, you said body cavity searches. Are they similar to the ones that I went through traveling through Atlanta Airport 3 days ago? There's a lot of intensive body searches. I will defy you to tell me that conditions at Guantanamo Bay are as bad as conditions in the Middle East. Let's look at prisons in Syria. Let's look at prisons in Iran. I will tell you that as bad as Guantanamo may be, I will still say conditions there and respect for the prisoners there compare very favorably with any prison in the Middle East or North Korea. Where are you guys talking about North Korea? I don't see anybody yelling about conditions in North Korean prisons. Everyone's jumping on the United States.
Henry Knorr.
Well, we're Americans, and for me, the standard is not the prisons in North Korea. I don't know about prisons in the Middle East. The only ones I've been in were Israeli prisons, and that was pretty bad. But I will say that that's not the standard that we're supposed to operate by. We're supposed to try to clean up our own act and then worry about other people or let them worry about cleaning up their act. But to say that what's going on in Guantanamo is okay because things are worse in Syria or North Korea is just a position that to me has no moral or intellectual integrity.
And again, I will tell you one more time, there are ways of addressing those complaints, even outside of the U.S. court system. All I see is a lot of people grandstanding about the horrible conditions at Guantanamo. If they're as horrible as you believe they are, you can always complain to various folks in Congress who would be sympathetic. There are multiple avenues to address this issue. I see nothing other than parading before television cameras.
Well, Stuart Stogel, you seem to be talking about other prisons. What about, let's talk about prisons around the world that have been under U.S. jurisdiction, like Abu Ghraib prison. You're not telling me that those images...
Right, exactly. You mentioned Abu Ghraib, and I don't debate that. However, as you saw in Abu Ghraib, not retaliation, but there was action taken by the United States government to punish those people who were involved in Abu Ghraib. I cannot talk about the Israelis that were involved there because the Israelis had a special condition that they could not be arrested for things that they did while in that particular jurisdiction. I don't defend what they did. All I'm saying is in Abu Ghraib, those who were found responsible for the atrocities there, I would say many, I don't know if all of them were, many were in fact punished for those actions.
Henry Knorr, our guest there talked about the legality of some of the cases behind these detainees. 86 have been cleared for transfer or release. Now, why is it that Stuart Stogel seems to think that there still needs to be, if I understood you, Stuart Stogel, correctly, Henry Knorr, why does he seem to think that, well, their cases should be still pending, as it has been evident of what is currently the situation for them?
Well, I think you better direct that question to him. I don't want to speak for him, but I will say that the, you know, those people have, the American security establishment has every interest to continue to make a case that these guys are, as they used to say, the worst of the worst. And the fact that more than half of them have been cleared of every charge and approved by every of the many agencies that are involved in these investigations, and that more than half of them have been cleared by all those agencies of any charges, and they've established that there's no reason for them to be detained, I think is pretty convincing evidence that they really are not guilty of anything, because the incentives are all on the other side. If they could find the slightest thing on these guys, they would you know, pretend that they need to be detained. So, and as for the other half, or less than half, whatever it is, 40% that they that have not been cleared, you know, why don't they have a fair trial before an impartial court? What is this, you know, on what moral basis you can say that the Congress has passed laws that make it legal to hold these people as enemy combatants?
Well, let's ask that from
whatever.
Stuart Stogel.
But
Stuart
in terms
Stogel,
of the fundamental
ahead.
Principles
sorry,
of what's
Stuart
supposed
Stogel.
To be American jurisprudence, it's simply
an
atrocity.
Stuart Stogel, go ahead.
Well, again, if what you're, I have not been inside Guantanamo. I used to work over at Time Magazine, and many of our reporters were at Guantanamo, and they reported conditions not quite as bad as what you're saying. But in any event, I haven't been there. So I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that conditions aren't what they should be. All I'm saying to you is there are multiple avenues, including congressional delegations that have been down there, many of which are ultra-liberal and would be normally very sympathetic to these kinds of issues. I don't see one person. There was Barney Frank, there was Dennis Kucinich, many of which have been proponents when they were in office of human rights. I don't see any of these would be considered locally ultra-liberals making those cases. Congressional delegations have been down there, and I see no move by those delegations to, you know, free up Guantanamo. It simply hasn't happened, which makes me believe that conditions there aren't quite as bad as what you're talking about. Should these guys be released? I can't address that because I've not seen the evidence or lack of evidence that needs to be presented. It's all pure speculation at this point.
Henry Knorr,
but you know,
Stuart
it's not
Stogel
all
talks
pure
about speculation.
The agencies that are in charge of evaluating these people have evaluated the evidence. They have all the evidence, and they've come to the conclusion that these people should be released, and they have not been released. So that's a fundamental contradiction. You keep talking about the conditions. I haven't been there either. But that the conditions are in terms of, you know, is it air conditioned? Is it the food decent or what? The medical care? That's not the issue. The issue is innocent people being detained without any legal procedure or any prospect of release. It's a fundamental matter of fairness. It's not a question of, you know, how many calories they're given or do they have how many square feet are the cells. It's a question of is it fair and is it sensible to lock up people, throw away the key, create no opportunity for them to prove their innocence, and even after you've decided that more than half of them are guilty of nothing by the most stringent criteria.
I find it rather strange that you say that, because there's also rather well-known former Attorney General Ramsey Clark, who's well-known for being a proponent for the issue that you spoke about. I haven't seen Ramsey Clark, who could easily independently go after the U.S. government in a court of law. Where is Ramsey Clark on this? I see Ramsey Clark being silent. I think he's being silent because he realizes that if it was prosecuted in a U.S. court, it wasn't going to go anywhere. Where's Ramsey Clark? I would think he'd be very sympathetic to your cause.
Unfortunately, we've got to cut it short.
Well, I don't know about Ramsey Clark personally. I don't think you do either. But the Center for Constitutional Rights here in New York, check with them. They filed countless cases, the ACLU and other, Reprieve in the U.K., all kinds of legal bodies around the world have tried.
Henry Knorr, unfortunately, we're out of time. That's Henry Knorr, activist and political commentator there, and from New York, Stuart Stogel from Newsmax magazine. That's it for this edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vatakhvay and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.